He thought his word was law. But there's only one law in the Empire, and that is ours. And having forgotten his duty, he threw away his honor by associating with quite the wrong sort of people. Tell us, Judge, how long have you been a supporter of the Clone Underground?
The packed court was deathly silent as it waited for the judge's answer. If ever a man in the Empire had been trusted and admired, even revered, it was Judge Wesley. His judgments were legends of reason and honesty. His few books required reading. And now he sat slumped in a stasis sphere, bloodied and humbled. And perhaps there was no justice in the Empire anymore. He looked up slowly, as though even as simple a matter as that took much out of him. Somewhere along the line, he'd suffered a severe beating. One swollen eye was entirely closed, and dried blood crusted his split lips. But even though he had fallen so very far, there was still a dignity about him, and when he finally spoke, his voice was calm and measured.
I served you for 38 years, Lionstone. I gave justice to all who came before me. That is what I told myself. It is my shame that it took me so long to see the evil in you and your laws. My life had become a mockery of everything I thought I believed in. But finally, I saw the truth, and I will not look away now, even if the light is painfully bright. A simple truth undid me, that clones are people too.
Not unless we say they are. You haven't answered our question, Judge. How long have we nursed a traitor to our bosom?
The judge met her gaze unblinkingly and said nothing. The Empress smiled.
Do you understand the nature of the sphere that imprisons you, traitor? It's a stasis field. Within that sphere, time does as we command. We can speed it up or slow it down. A year can pass in a second, or a second can last a year. You could lose a decade in the blink of an eye, live out your whole life in the time it takes you to answer our questions. Unless you choose to be reasonable. Give us the names of the scum you dealt with and where they may be found, and you shall go free. We give our word as Empress.
The judge smiled suddenly, and fresh blood ran down his chin as his lips split open again.
Your word is worthless, Lionstone. Truth and honor are not in you. I have nothing to say.
The Empress sat back in her throne and gestured sharply to one of the guards by the sphere. He made a small adjustment to the control on his wrist, and the judge grunted loudly as though someone had hit him. His hair grew longer and thick strands of white appeared in it. Heavy lines dug deeply into his face. His frame shrank subtly, and his hands withered into claws. He moaned with pain as arthritis filled his joints. Lionstone raised a hand, and the aging stopped. Within the sphere, the equivalent of 40 years had passed in a few moments.
Talk to us, Nicholas. This is the last chance we can offer you. Are you really willing to die to protect creatures who aren't even human?
Judge Nicholas Wesley gave her a smile that had as much of the skull as humor in it.
The lowest clone is more human than you, Lionstone.
The Empress gestured angrily, and time roared through the sphere like sands rushing through an hourglass. The judge grew withered and frail. His hair fell out and his skin mottled. A skull replaced his face, as bones pushed out against the tightening skin, and still he had nothing to say. Time passed. The judge died, and his body decayed. And then there was nothing left in the sphere but his torn robes and a few bones crumbling into dust. The guard collapsed the stasis field, and the sphere disappeared. The judge's robes dropped into the muddy waters and sank from sight. Out in the antechamber, Captain Silence and Investigator Frost sat alone in chains, inside a force screen. The field shimmered on the edges of their vision, whichever way they looked, so that the antechamber had an unreal, ghostly look to them. Silence wasn't fooled. The danger they were in was all too real. He'd lost his ship and allowed the Deathstalker outlaw to escape. He should have died honorably at his post as his ship went down. His clan would have mourned his name, and it would all have been over. But the investigator had insisted on saving him for her own inscrutable reasons. And so here he was, secured at the ankles, wrists, and throat, with enough chains to hold a dozen men, waiting to see which interesting and especially painful death the Empress had in mind for him. Officially, he was entitled to a court-martial before a board of his peers and fellow officers, but the Empress outranked them all when she chose to, so she had first claim on him. Besides, the best he could have hoped from a court-martial would have been a quick death. Silence rattled his chains briefly and sniffed. Shoddy workmanship, but still more than enough to hold him, even without the force screen. He wasn't going anywhere. There was nowhere to go. Nowhere the Empress couldn't find him. Besides, he wouldn't have wanted to live as an outlaw anyway, always on the run, looking back over your shoulder to see if they were gaining on you. No peace, no chance for happiness, or honor. Silence sighed heavily, not for the first time, and looked at the investigator sitting beside him. Their captors had taken special pains with her bonds, loading her down with thick steel chains until a normal person would have collapsed under the weight of them. Frost ignored them, sitting proud and erect on the wooden bench as though it was her own idea to be there. The forescreen was mainly for her. She was an investigator, after all, and no one was taking any chances. Two armed guards stood before the closed double doors, waiting for the call to bring the prisoners in. They looked large and tough and extremely competent. Silence would have doubted his chances against them, even without the chains, and with a sword in one hand and a grenade in the other. He sighed again and rattled his chains mournfully.
I wish you'd stop doing that.
Sorry, not much else to do.
They'll let us out of the screen soon.
That won't make any difference, Investigator. We're not going anywhere.
You mustn't give up, Captain. There are always options.
Silence looked at her.
Is that why you rescued me from the Bridge of the Darkwind?
Of course, Captain.
Thanks a whole bunch. But I forgive you, Frost. It must have seemed like a good idea at the time.
Frost stirred, and her chains rattled briefly. The armed guards looked at her thoughtfully.
I was just doing my duty, Captain.
Does that mean you wouldn't try to escape now if you could?
Of course I would, Captain. I'm loyal, but I'm not stupid. We must keep our eyes open and our wits about us. There are always options.
And then the double door swung open a short way, and the two armed guards moved toward the prisoners. One drew his disruptor and pointed it meaningfully at Frost. Silence felt vaguely insulted. The second guard made an adjustment to the controls on his wrist, and the force screen disappeared. Silence looked at Frost.
If you have any suggestions or ideas, now would be a really good time to share them.
We could always use our chains to club anyone to death who got too close to us.
Good idea. Get them to kill us quickly. Keep thinking, Investigator.
The guards gestured for Silence and Frost to pass through the double doors and into the waiting court. They kept well back, both their guns trained on the investigator. Silence gathered up his chains and rose awkwardly to his feet. It took him a moment to get his balance as the heavy weight shifted, and then he stumbled toward the doors. If he hadn't had experience on heavy gravity planets, he doubted he'd have been able to move at all. The guards would have loved that. They were just looking for some excuse to beat the crap out of him again. Silence gritted his teeth and kept moving. Frost walked beside him, back straight and head erect, ignoring her chains as though they were so many party favors. She was courteous enough to keep pace with Silence, and somehow, that made it worse. They passed through the waiting doors and were immediately ankle deep in filthy water. Silence was past caring. It was just one more indignity. He splashed on, fighting to keep his head up. The court was packed. They must be expecting a really unpleasant execution. A narrow aisle formed before him, people drawing back as though not wanting to be associated with him even by proximity. Silence didn't care. At least they weren't shouting or spitting or throwing things. Though come to think of it, he might have preferred a little shouting. The continuing silence was becoming unnerving. He struggled on, Frost at his side, the guards a respectful distance behind them. Silence looked about him as best he could, and the courtiers looked back with something in their faces that might have been expectancy. And it occurred to Silence that the Empress wouldn't have summoned this many important people to court just to watch him and Frost die. They had to be here for some other, more important reason. Which suggested that just maybe there were still options open to him after all. Finally, Silence and Frost came to a halt before the throne of Lionstone XIV. Silence felt ready to drop, but forced himself to stand straight, despite the chains. He had a strong feeling this would be a really bad time to show weakness. Frost stood beside him, looking calm and composed, as always. Something moved in the deeper waters not too far away, and Silence wondered fleetingly if there was something alive just below the surface. Something alive and hungry. The Empress did so like her little jokes. It didn't really matter. If it got too close, Frost would take care of it. Silence looked back at Lionstone, and she smiled down at him coldly. He bowed as best he could. She was his Empress, after all. Frost didn't bow. One of the guards stepped forward, gun raised to club her to her knees. Frost braced herself and lashed out with a stiffened leg. The guard took the boot in his gut and just had time for a surprised, breathless grunt before he went flying backward into the crowd. They all ended up in the water, splashing and cursing. The guard didn't get up again, and neither did some of the courtiers he'd slammed into. Silence had to smile. He could always depend on Frost to make an impression. A brief clamor of protesting voices began in the surrounding crowd, only to die swiftly away as the Empress glared at them. She looked back at Silence and Frost, and Silence, for one, was surprised to find she was still smiling. It only took him a moment to decide that he didn't like the look of that smile at all.
Leave my guards alone, Investigator, there's a dear. They're frightfully expensive to replace. Believe me, you're in no danger here. The chains are just a formality.
A rather heavy formality, Your Majesty. May I inquire as to why we are here?
We have a use for you, Captain. We were rather annoyed with you and the Investigator. You lost us a perfectly good starship, and you failed to bring us the head of that most wretched traitor, Owen Deathstalker. We wanted his head very much. We were going to stick it on a spike right here at court, so that everyone could see what happens to those who dare defy us, whatever their status. We were also planning to have you both killed in slow, painful ways, as a sign to those who dared fail us, but we changed our mind. We have a use for you.
Here it comes, thought Silence, wishing he could duck.
You pleased us greatly in your handling of the alien menace on Unseelie, both 10 years ago and more recently. Their uprising threatened the stability of the Empire, but you put a stop to that and to them. You also discovered the alien starship that crashed there recently and dealt with its occupant before it could contact its own kind and warn them of our existence. For this, and for other services on your part, you have our gratitude and a pardon for all your crimes.
The crowd broke into more or less spontaneous applause as the remaining guard activated the controls on his wrist. Padlocks clicked open one after the other, like a run of firecrackers, and the chains fell away from Silence and Frost. They dropped into the muddy waters and were gone. Silence rubbed gingerly at his chafed wrists, his mind whirling. It wasn't so much what Lionstone had said as what she hadn't said. She hadn't mentioned their discovery of a new star drive in the alien ship. Of course, there were all sorts of reasons for that. Firstly, it wouldn't do for the court to get the idea that the aliens might actually have a technology that was, in some ways at least, superior to the Empire's. And secondly, as long as the court thought her scientists controlled production of the new star drive, they wouldn't do anything that might offend her for fear of being refused access to the drive. Both of which were very good reasons for having him and Frost silenced. Something bad was coming, all right, and it was headed right toward him. He could feel it, like the cold breath of death herself on the back of his neck.
We hereby reinvest you in your previous ranks. We give you a new ship, the Dauntless, fitted with our new star drive. You will go to the planet Grendel and open the vaults of the sleepers.
A shocked gasp rippled through the court. Everyone remembered what happened the last time a starship made contact with Grendel. The planet had seemed empty, peaceful, perfect for colonization. But deep in the ground, the investigatory team had found the remains of a vast alien city, long abandoned, and massive steel vaults, ancient almost beyond measurement. They opened one of the vaults, and the sleepers awoke. Hideous alien creatures, nightmares in flesh and blood, and spiked silicon armor that was somehow a part of them. They were huge and impossibly fast, with metal claws and teeth. They wiped out the entire landing party in a matter of minutes. The Empire sent down seasoned attack troops, battle espers, even adjusted men. They all died. Luckily, the aliens had no starship of their own. They were trapped on the planet's surface. The fleet moved in and scorched the surface of the planet from orbit. Grendel was under quarantine now, guarded by half a dozen star cruisers. There were other vaults and other sleepers, and the Empire had no wish that they should awaken. Apparently that had changed now. Silence shook his head disgustedly. Grendel. He almost thought he'd rather have been executed.
Might I inquire why we're opening this particular can of worms again, Your Majesty?
Of course, Captain. You're going to open the vaults one at a time and discover, by whatever means you deem necessary, how to tame and train the sleepers. You will have unlimited access to funds, men, and weaponry. Call on whatever you need to do the job. It is our intention to use the sleepers as shock troops in our coming conflict with the two newly discovered alien species. Any questions?
Do I have time to make a will before I go?
The Empress laughed briefly and called forward more guards with a wave of her hand.
Escort the captain and the investigator to their new ship. See they don't get lost along the way.
Silence bowed, and he and Frost left the court with their heads held high, doing their best to ignore the dozen heavily armed guards who escorted them. Silence shook his head ruefully as he left. Not only had Lionstone presented him with a near impossible task, quite likely to get him and the investigator killed, she had also ensured that he would have no chance at all to open his mouth about the origins of the new star drive. Lionstone didn't lack for courage or cunning, which was at least partly why she was still Empress. Lionstone waited till they were gone, and then smiled out over her court.
We trust it is now clear what lengths we will go to protect the Empire? Good. We will defend the Empire from any enemy, without or within. Make no mistake, most gracious lords and ladies and gentle friends. The new star drive gives our Imperial fleet an unbeatable advantage over any who might try to stand against us. Our enemies shall fall. There will be nowhere they can hide from us, nowhere we will not follow them. Our will shall be unchallenged. Now, is there any other business?
The ceiling high above the throne exploded, and debris rained down through the shifting mists. The maids-in-waiting leapt up and sheltered the Empress's body with their own. Sharp-edged rubble cut their pale flesh, and blood flowed, but none of them flinched. The court screamed and panicked, milling this way and that in their fear and confusion. Dram drew his sword and gun and looked about him for an enemy. And out of the smoke and mists above the throne dropped a dozen long lines, down which slid men and women dressed in leathers and chains. They hit the water and stepped quickly aside to make way for others coming down after them. Dram looked at the dozen guns facing his one and stood very still. The newcomers gestured for him to drop his gun and sword, and he did, watching expressionlessly as they disappeared into the dark waters and were gone. Kit Summerisle dropped his sword without waiting to be told, The maids moved a little away from Lionstone to form a defensive circle around the throne, staring at the newcomers with unblinking insect eyes. The courtiers were all shouting and talking at once, and one word rose again and again above the rest.
Elves! The elves have found us!
Honor to the Asper Liberation Front!
Shouted one of the newcomers, a young woman in battered leathers and far too many chains, over a t-shirt bearing the legend, Born to Burn. She was short and stocky, with muscles bulging on her bare arms. Her long dark hair was full of knotted ribbons, and she might have been pretty if her eyes hadn't been alight with the fire of the true fanatic. Other elves gathered around her. Half trained their guns on the quieting court, the others on the throne. Lionstone watched in silence from behind her maids, her eyes full of fury. Neither she nor Dram nor anyone in the court was foolish enough to go up against energy weapons. The Esper terrorists looked hard and roughly used, but the chains holding their leathers together were freshly polished, and they all wore bright colors on their faces and in their hair. Most of them were young, some barely out of their teens, but they all had scars somewhere on their bare skin. The Empire used Espers harshly, which was why so many died or went rogue. Most died. There were very few old Espers. The elf wearing the Born to Burn t-shirt stepped forward and bowed mockingly to the silent court.
Sorry about the mess, but a good entrance is so important. Now be good boys and girls and do as you're told, and you'll be able to leave here with all your major organs intact and still attached in the right places. Annoy us, and we'll think of something amusing to do to you. And some of us have a really nasty sense of humor. Being an outlaw can do that to you.
She turned to look at Lionstone.
Relax, dear. We're not here to kill you. We've come for one of our own. Now, do you want to step down from that throne, or would you rather be thrown down?
Lionstone rose to her feet and stepped down into the dark waters with icy dignity. The maids moved immediately to surround her. The elf ignored them all and crouched down beside the throne, running her hands carefully over the black iron studded with jade.
Do you have a name, traitor? Stevie Blue. Not at all pleased to meet you. My guards will be here soon. There is no way you can hope to escape. Your guards are currently being run in circles by associates of ours. Your only protectors are those poor mind-burned souls acting as your maids, and the S-blocker built into your throne. Ah! Got it!
She slid back a recessed panel in the side of the throne and carefully removed a translucent cube the size of her head. An S-blocker was really quite a simple device, the living brain of an Esper, removed from its body and held in suspension. A low current passed constantly through the frontal lobes, keeping the brain awake and aware and functioning, using its ESP to prevent any other Esper abilities from functioning in its vicinity. Just another hell the Empire made, and the only real defense against a rogue Esper, or an elf. Stevie Blue lifted the cube above her head and brought it down with savage force on the arm of the throne. The fragile container shattered, and the brain tissue fell apart, already dying. The bloody tissues slipped down the side of the throne and dripped into the water.
Be at peace, my friend. The fight goes on.
She turned her gaze on Lionstone again.
That's one less soul living in a hell you made for them.
Lionstone smiled.
I'll get another. There's no shortage of donors.
She broke off as the elf took a step forward and then stopped herself. Stevie Blue looked at her coldly.
Oh, I could kill you now, Lionstone. Any of us could. We want your death so badly, we can taste it. We dream about it at night and wake to plan new ways of taking it. One day we'll take your precious empire apart stone by stone till there's nowhere left for you to hide, and then we'll come for you. But if we were to kill you now, while you're weak and helpless, you'd just be replaced by another from your corrupt line, and the new emperor would order massive reprisals among the Esper community. Thousands would die, and thousands more would suffer. But we didn't want to leave without giving you some indication of our true feelings for you, so we brought you a little present.
She reached back, and a large cream pie was placed in her hand. Stevie Blue grinned at Lionstone's shocked expression, and then aimed and threw the pie with one easy motion. It hit Lionstone squarely in the face, and she fell back a step, clawing at the mess on her face.
You'd be justified in calling for reprisals over an assassination attempt, but over a pie in the face. You'd just look extremely petty, not to mention weak. Goodbye, Lionstone. It's been a pleasure.
Lionstone glared past the thick swirls of cream and pointed a quivering finger at the elves.
Kill them! Kill them all!
The maids sprang to obey. They surged forward, steel claws shooting out from under their fingernails, and the elves went to meet them, manifesting their abilities. Stevie Blue wrapped herself in fire, living flames of pure heat, but the maids jumped her anyway. They were beyond such weaknesses as pain or fear. Stevie disappeared beneath the clawing figures, and the other elves raced to help her. The maids split up to greet them. They fell upon the first two espers and tore them apart with their unnatural strength. Blood flew on the air as the elf screamed and died. One esper gestured desperately, and the maids stopped suddenly as though they'd slammed into an invisible wall. And then they stumbled forward again as the wall collapsed. Stevie Blue's flames flickered and went out. Lionstone laughed and sat upon her throne again.
You didn't really think I'd trust my safety to just the one S-blocker, did you?
She had to shout the last part over rising screams as the maids moved among the desperate elves. Disruptors fired, but the maids moved too quickly to be hit. Then they were among the elves, and it was too dangerous to use the guns anymore. The maids leapt among the espers like wolves in the fold, tearing at defenseless flesh with their clawed hands and stuffing the bloody meat into their mouths. They were hungry. One esper stuck his gun in a maid's mouth and fired it. The maid's head exploded, spraying bloody gobbets everywhere. Another maid appeared behind the esper and wrapped her arms around him in a bear hug. The esper's ribs collapsed and drove inward, piercing his heart and lungs. The remaining elves tried to run, but the maids were everywhere. The elves fell one by one, until finally only one man remained free. He ran toward the throne and tried to fire his disruptor, but the energy crystal was still recharging. He threw the useless gun aside and drew his sword. A maid jumped him and pulled him down into the water. She held him under and watched him personally as he drowned. He kicked and struggled, and then his sword thrust up out of the water and slammed into the maid's belly. The force of the blow threw her back, and the esper burst up out of the water, coughing and choking. He fixed his gaze on Lionstone again and hefted his sword. He moved forward, and the maid jumped him from behind. She concentrated in the way she'd been taught, and the shrapnel bomb set inside her body exploded. Both she and the elf were torn apart by the blast, and blood and shrapnel rained down for long moments.